Before I begin, let me welcome back Deacon Scott amongst us and Diane sitting here too. I don't know if he brought the good weather or the good weather brought him. I don't know which one it was, but welcome amongst us here again. I want to begin by sharing with you a little story about a woman named Cindy who was diagnosed with cancer. And after surgery and 6 months of chemotherapy, her hair started to fall out. She really was very proud of her hair. So at first, this was very humiliating and very embarrassing for her. But after a while, she began to accept the fact that her hair was falling out because of the chemotherapy. And one day, she decided, this was just enough of this. I'm just going to have all of it just simply shaved off. But she didn't want to go to a beauty salon to do it because she didn't want someone who wasn't aware of her struggle and her difficulties to be indifferent to all that, to be the person who did it. And so as she was thinking about all this, she heard the buzz of her husband Willie's electric shaver in the bathroom. So she goes into the bathroom and she asks him, "Will you shave my head?" And he says, "Sure. I mean, are you sure? I mean, you said you wanted to wait a while to do all this." And she said, "Wait a while? What am I waiting for? It looks terrible." And so they got a chair and they put it in the bathroom, and very carefully and very gently, he began to shave her head. Every once in a while, he would ask her if she was okay, as he periodically would sort of dust the hair off of her shoulders. And when it was almost completely finished, he said to her, "I'm almost done. And you know, it actually doesn't look all that bad." When it was all over, he kind of massaged her shoulders as she looked into the mirror to see what it looked like. But she didn't care that much what it looked like. It was kind of the closeness of the moment, I think, that was really more important for her. And after it was all over, she bent down to pick up all this hair that was cut off the floor, and her husband just takes her shoulders and lifts her up and says, "No, you sit down, I'll do all of this." And so she sat there in the chair, and she watched him clean up all the loose hair that was laying on the bathroom floor. And then she remembered it with these words, "I could see the act of shaving my head had given my husband great joy. He's been able to do something for me in a time when he felt helpless to be able to help me. As for me, it was perhaps the most romantic spiritual night of my wedded life." A beautiful story, I think, about love. The kind of love that Jesus is talking about in the gospel today, and kind of contrary to the sexually saturated Hallmark culture that we have in our world here today. And given that story that I just shared with you, I can't resist kind of sharing with you another one. I was actually an eyewitness to this story, and my father contracted cancer in 1988, a long time ago. My parents retired and moved from Pittsburgh. My neighborhood was sort of going down the toilet a little bit over there. And they moved to Altoona. And 1 month later, my father was diagnosed with cancer. And when it was getting toward the end, my father was in palliative care in the hospital there. And I was teaching school at Bishop Guilfoyle. And I was a priest then, too. And after school, I would go each day to go and visit him. And usually my mother was there. I don't know if you know it or not, but whenever you've been bombarded with chemo and with radiation, you have a tendency to be incontinent in your life, which means you kind of lose control of your bowel movements. And one day my father had soiled himself. And so here I was, school was over, and I go walk around the corner to kind of walk in the room, and I saw my mother very gently and very carefully cleaning my father up from that accident. I had to step, I just stopped and was paralyzed for a moment watching. Then I had to kind of back myself out of the room again because of what I just saw. And then eventually came in as if nothing really had ever happened. And I don't even know if my mother to this day knows that I witnessed that. That was over 30 years ago. And that was probably one of the most loving acts I have ever seen in my entire life, still to this day. And all that brings me to our gospel here today, where Jesus says, I give you a new commandment. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Here we are in the Last Supper. Jesus had just washed the disciples' feet. He goes and he sits down and he says to them, I want to give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, last week was Good Shepherd Sunday, and last week I gave you a definition of what I said was mysticism. And in my definition, I said mysticism was hearing the voice of the shepherd and knowing that you are known and that you are loved. And today is a continuation of that theme. If Jesus would have said to us, love one another, we would have messed that up all over the place, as we oftentimes do. But he said to us, I give you a new commandment. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. What made this a new commandment, what made this revolutionary, was that you and I are loved first. Do you get that? Do you hear that? The gift comes first. And once you and I receive the gift, we're loved. We're loved first. Then we can really begin to love one another. When sheep know that they are loved and known, they will follow. Cindy knew she was loved so she could handle her cancer. My father knew he was loved and cared for, so he could handle the humiliation and the struggle of his cancer. And here you and I are today in this sacred liturgy as we come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and I am so glad to see you every single Sunday as we gather here. And the whole point of this liturgy for us here today, just like the washing of feet, is so you and I know that we are loved. That's the whole point of this. That you come to understand, you, by Holy Communion, you are so profoundly and deeply loved. St. Augustine, whenever he would celebrate the liturgy with his people, right before Holy Communion, would hold up the host and he would say, become what you see. Receive what you are. We are to become Christ by the Eucharist. And then you and I are supposed to go out there and to love. At the end of the Mass, I always say to you, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. In other words, now that you have been loved, now that you've experienced this Holy Communion with this God who furiously cares for you, now let's go out there in love the same way Jesus Christ does. And the only way we can, folks, is we've realized that you and I have been loved first. Now, maybe I get practical for just a moment here, and today is really our third Tri-Ministry Sunday. We're calling this our virtual Tri-Ministry Sunday because we want you to do everything online. Kind of like Dan, last week he came out and he invited everybody who wants to serve the church through music to come back to join him. I want to invite you to all the different ministries that are going on in the church today to go on the computer in our virtual Tri-Ministry Sunday and sign up, for some kind of ministry in our church here at Our Mother of Sorrows. And we want you to do it online because we have a new website. We want you to look at it. We want you to see it. It's pretty cool. And we think it's something that will help to serve you better. Mother Teresa one time said, faith in action is love. And love, the love we're talking about today in action, is service. And to make the point, let me close with a little story, another little story, if I may. There was a man who years ago was simply known as Secret Santa. He would just anonymously give these remarkable gifts to a lot of different people. People didn't know who he was. Well, eventually, some reporter tracked him down, and they asked him why he did that, why he was so generous with all these in so many ways in his life. And he says, well, he said, I'm a successful businessman and life has been good to me. But then he went on to say that it hasn't always been that way. Back in 1971, he was an out-of-work salesman living out of his car. And one morning he woke up, or after not eating for 2 days, he woke up and he says, I am just so hungry. I need to have something to eat. So he was in Houston, Mississippi. He decided to go to this diner and get breakfast, and he knew he couldn't pay for it. He was just going to go because he was so desperately hungry, but didn't have any money. So he's sitting there eating his breakfast, wondering how's he going to pay for all this, or wondering how's he going to get out of paying for all this. And all of a sudden, the bill shows up, and he kind of acts like he lost his wallet, you know, kind of like you would do. And the owner kind of sized him up for what was going on with him. So he goes to walk around the counter to the other side to where the man was. And as he approaches the man, he stoops down on the floor and he goes, oh, look here. I think you dropped this. And he hands the man a $20 bill. And all of a sudden, the man knew that he knew, and that he was going to be able to not only pay for breakfast, but maybe for some other meal somewhere along the way. And he said that undeserved act of graciousness and generosity and goodness changed me, and it made me want to sort of pay it forward and do it for others. So that's what this is all about for us here today, to somehow in our Tri Ministry Sunday to pay it forward, to serve others. Folks, you can't be a Christian unless you're serving somebody. It's just not possible. And so today at the end of Mass, don't leave yet. At the end of Mass, I'm going to say to you, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your life. I could say to you, you are now loved by this beautiful liturgy that we just celebrated. Now let's go and love one another.